Once upon a time, there was this beautiful family, an ordinary family, a dysfunctional family, like many of us are, made up of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And they had a great relationship with the Son of God, Jesus Christ. They were very close to Jesus and often provided great hospitality for Jesus. I don't know about you, but I love to eat, and I'm sure it shows. There's only one thing I don't like to eat, and that's sushi. My girls love it. So every so often, we have to compromise. But I believe that great things happen around the table, don't they? When my kids were little, we had a rule. Only good things could be spoken of at dinner time or lunchtime or whenever we sat around the table. It was a time to hear about all the great things about the day. And if something went wrong and I knew about it, I had bought a beautiful plate that said, "We thank God for you," at a children's conference that I went to. And if I knew something had happened that day that wasn't that good, or someone was hurting and coming over for dinner, that was their plate that day. Because I truly believe that we get to know each other better when we are breaking bread. And so Jesus came and joined Mary and Lazarus and Martha many times to break bread. Needless to say that there was a deep bond of love between Jesus and this family. And though Mary and Martha were sisters and were very different, some of you might have siblings and you know how that goes. There are moments when you have, I like to call them intense moments of fellowship. You might not agree, you might not see eye to eye, but you still love that person. Because he or she is part of the family. And this is the same relationship that existed among the siblings. It was so that one day they had invited Jesus over for dinner. And I remember Martha because I know who she is and was because of Martha Stewart. That helps me out. I'm a visual learner, so I got to have the visuals. And so I could only imagine Martha preparing this table with all the pretty doilies and napkins and the fork in the right place and all that stuff. And Mary, a worshiper at the feet of Jesus, pouring out her love, her adoration, wanting all the blessings of God to be poured upon her. And there she is worshiping him. While Martha is sweating at the kitchen, remember, no AC. And she was wearing this apron. And I can only, you know, I got a great imagination. I can only imagine her coming out and going to Jesus, you know, pushing him and saying, "Hello. I've been cooking all day. Can you not tell this one to come and help me?" And I believe that Jesus, with great compassion in his voice, said to her, "Martha, Martha, she's chosen the best part." Because he knew that he wasn't going to be with them for too long. And he knew their hearts. He knew that Mary was worshiping. And see, I don't know how it all works, really. I don't know anything. But I do know that some people are born with that heart and that desire, that demeanor to worship God. They just love to be in his presence, praising him, While others are task-oriented, and we just go, 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 we got to stop and say, wait, 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 it's time. We got to carve that time. When my kids were little, they used to tell me at times when I got a little mean, Mommy, you need to go back to your prayer room. Because like Susanna Wesley, every so often, I needed to put that apron over my head and go and hide. I used to tell them, whoever calls, I don't care who it is, you tell them I'm having my sacred time right now. I cannot come to the phone. I knew I needed to carve out time. I'm more like a Martha. And so in the midst of all of this, relationship is built. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We need relationships. We need each other. And yes, there are times that the person we love the most, we might not like. Maybe that only happens to me and you because I only got one amen. But it is through these experiences that we grow. Maybe you've had times in your lives that you've looked at your spouse and you have said, I don't know how I ever fell in love with this man. Or this woman, you know, what was wrong with me? Because opposites attracts, and then all of a sudden we find that they repel for a little bit. But, you know, that's what relationships are all about. And we need to learn to agree to disagree. You know, these families that we read about in the Bible were not perfect. Neither are we. And so we study them and we read and we study them again because we want to learn. Mary was probably an introvert, reflective, passionate worshiper. While Martha was a doer. She was an extrovert. It's obvious still that they share an intimate relationship with Jesus. The fact that Martha was able to come and complain to Jesus and go on shows that there was a relationship there. They knew each other. In the Gospel of John, Mary is identified as the woman who anointed Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair and cried and kept anointing and drying. You see, this really adds more insight to the kind of relationship that they had. Perhaps there's been times in your life when you have been there as a worshiper, but then things get better and we get pulled away and we go through the motions of life. It happens. And so this family one day encounter a major crisis. Their brother Lazarus got sick. They send an email to Jesus. And Jesus said, no, I still have some work to do. I'll come in a little while. But by the time Jesus got there, Lazarus had been dead. Buried, his body smelled. They were there grieving. I imagine the family had gathered from north and far and east and west, and they were friends. And probably I can imagine Martha in the kitchen washing dishes, preparing the coffee, probably chai tea. I love chai tea. So I'm going to think there was chai tea there and all that good stuff. And someone comes and says to her, I think the master is coming. She dropped everything. She went running. And instead of saying, "How are you? It's so good to see you," she rebuked the master. Typical woman. Again, she went like this, and she said, "If you would have been here, my brother would not have died." And in there was the sound of pain, hopelessness, sadness. And I would dare throw another word in there: disappointment. Have you ever been disappointed at Jesus?
I have.
Because I prayed it this way, I wanted it this way, and he said, "No, no, no." I think Martha was disappointed. And then they just began to talk. And at that time, Jesus reveals to her a revelation that has changed the world. He said to her, "I am the resurrection and I am the life. I am the resurrection and I am the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies." This is in verse 25. "And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Martha, do you believe this? And Martha said, "Yes, Lord, I believe." Jesus is asking us the same question today, individually. This is a declaration of faith that provides the setting for Lazarus' resurrection. And as the conversation continued, while here we see in the conversation that Mary is giving emotions and she's crying, Martha is giving it her intellect. She's reasoning. She wants answers. And some of us are like that. We want answers. We want to know why, how, when. You might have somebody in front of you really hurting, and instead of hugging and saying, "Are you okay? How did this happen? And when and where were you? And who hit you first?" So in the midst of all that conversation, then Jesus asked, "Where have you laid him?" And this is what I want us to think about. Her answer was, "Come and see." Today, Jesus is asking us here, where have you laid the brokenness in your life? The broken dreams, the disappointments, the bitterness, the labels, the rejection. And I hope and pray that the answer would be, "Lord, come and see." Because unresolved issues that we bury deep down inside will make us bitter, ineffective, sour people. And sometimes we wonder, where did this anger, bitterness, negativity comes from? From that tomb that we have deep down inside of us, where we have stuffed and buried all these ugly things that we've been dealing with. And for some of us, it could have been from childhood. And before we can go out there and tell the people out there, come and see, we need to invite Jesus to come and see. Come to my cemetery. Come and see all the dead bones that I have here. All the resentment and all the anger. The most violent animal in the jungle is a wounded animal. Same thing for us. Broken people break other people. Hurting people hurt other people. And we go through life without wanting to deal with all of that because it is painful. Because you have to go back there and deal with it and confront it one more time. And so we play the part. We dress up really pretty. We come to church on Sundays. We work really hard at church. We fill out every committee position. But we have never asked Jesus to come and see and make us whole again. After Jesus went to the tomb, he asked some of the men that were there to roll away the stone. He went close to it, and all he said was, Lazarus, come forth. He had to call him by his name. Otherwise, everybody else would have come up. And I think another reason why God called, or Jesus, but it was God himself, deity, call him by his name is because the devil calls us by our shame. While Jesus calls us by our And though Lazarus came forward all bound up, like many of us, he still came forward. They unbound him. They took all that off. Like he would do for us, he will take all the chains off, break them, and then we could go forward. In wholeness, to invite others to come to him. My friends, my brothers, my sisters, may today be the day. As you take communion today, as you kneel in the quietness of your heart, may we offer to him all the broken pieces, the broken dreams, the bitterness that has been boiling inside of us. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is not just for information. There are people that love information, right? And then they act like they know it all. And they come and they sit with you. And then they're done. They get up and leave. And you're like, totally depleted. The gospel of Jesus Christ is for transformation. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Come and see, Lord Jesus.